Welcome to the CWA Radio Network, brought to you 7 days a week by Christian Women Affiliate. You're listening to Touch a Heart, hosted by Alicia G. Brown, president and founder of the Women's Worship Fest Incorporated, discussing topics that are difficult and tender to the heart, tackling the areas that plague our society and have caused suffering and hardship, but have found hope in God. For the next 50 minutes, we invite you to join us live via the chat room. Click to talk to the host or call in 347-850-8893. After the show, we invite you to join us at Christian Women Affiliate. Here's your host.
Hello, everyone. This is your host, Alicia Brown, for Touch Your Heart Talk Show, an entity of Touch Your Heart International, bringing to you real people, real testimony, and real breakthrough every Monday evening. Today is miraculous, marvelous, magnificent Monday. Today's scripture can be found in Proverbs, the 13th chapter and the third verse. This is the New Living Translation, and it says, "Those who control their tongue will have a long life. Opening your mouth can ruin everything." I thought this was a very good scripture to help us to watch our words and not be so quick to speak. That can be very difficult for us. However, there can be great consequences when you don't control your tongue. So hopefully this will be a good word for you. Also, let me invite you to join us every Monday morning at 6:30 a.m. Pacific Standard Time as we pray for our schools, led by our conference call host, Lucretia McKinney of Paris, California. That's every Monday morning. We are praying for teachers, students, administrators at various schools. So please join us by dialing into 712-432-3100, and the code is 244035. Also, get a spiritual boost by going to our website and clicking on Refueled. You receive words of motivation and encouragement to help you strengthen your spiritual walk. Please feel free to visit our website and see what we are doing at Touch Your Heart, and that would be touchyourheart.org. Again, our website is touchyourheart.org. Also, if you have missed any of our radio episodes, they are recorded. So once again, visit our website and click on Touch Your Heart Talk Show to listen to any of our recorded broadcasts. God has been so very faithful to us, and he's just been great to us. We have a tremendous passion and a heart for those in ministry. We have added a crisis chat room for those vulnerable to suicide, overwhelmed, frustrated, or burnt out. This chat room will be facilitated by trained confidential listening agents. This chat room, it has the capacity to translate to as many as 30 languages. We will also be offering webinars that will focus on teaching individuals how to minister to the minister. So please stay tuned for that. If you have questions and you'd like to volunteer or like to help out in any kind of way, please feel free to send us an email to touchyourheartintl@gmail.com. Again, that's touchyourheartintl@gmail.com. As I was saying to you, we have a heart for ministry. We have a heart for those who are serving in ministry. And but we find that, friends, it's so easy, so quick to express our feelings about the church. A lot of the times when things don't go the way we feel that they should go, we place all the blame on the church. Last evening at church, Pastor Samuel Goulet gave an extremely inspiring message regarding the fire that is in us. And he asked the question, if we don't have fire, can we say it's the church's fault? I had to give that some thought because that's what we tend to do. But he was sharing how our fire is given to us by God. It's not by the church. It's up for us to stir up that gift that he has in us. And so we all have our part to bring. It's not all on the pastor, not all on the music, not all on the leaders. 2 Corinthians 12:15 says, if the foot says, I am not a part of the body because I am not the hand, does that not make it any less a part of the body? The church is not four walls. I'm so glad to have Jeremy Malone with us today. And Jeremy is the founder of Just Preach Jesus, as well as he is our community outreach director here at Touch Your Heart International. Jeremy has such a heart for evangelism as well as the body of Christ, and he brings so much to the table. So I thought it would be fantastic to have him on the show. He is definitely no stranger to Touch Your Heart, and when we want to discuss the body of Christ and we want to discuss our place, I thought he would just be great for that. And on a personal note, I just absolutely love him because he's my soon-to-be son-in-law. So I want to welcome back Jeremy Malone to Touch Your Heart Radio. How are you, Jeremy?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
I am wonderful. I am really, really excited. I was thinking how we have heard all these scriptures time and time again about us being many parts but not one body, but we really don't demonstrate it overall. You know, the hand wants to be the foot and tell the foot
right.
what to do, and the eye wants to be the nose, and on and on and on. Basically, I don't think we try to find out exactly where God has called us because we're too busy trying to run the church and do things our way. I don't know. That's just my thought.
Yeah, I totally agree. I feel like a lot of people sometimes they only want to be what they feel like is popular in ministry. I feel like for a long time, just from what I was seeing, just, you know, and it may not have been like a lot of people that was maybe focused on that, but from what I've seen, that's what I picked up. You had a lot of people that was for a long time chasing the bishop title. And so a lot now what I see in my generation, a lot of people are chasing the apostle or the prophet title. And it's like, you know, is it something that we truly are called to, or are we doing this because this is what we feel like is the most popular mm-hmm. thing to be? And I feel like a lot of people only chase that. Like I said, you know, what's mm-hmm. popular, what's happening like right now, you know, like this is like the trend, this is what we need to do. And it's not about that. 1 Corinthians 12:27 says, Now you are Christ's body and individually members of it, which means all of you have your own place. All of you are not called to be the same thing. Because if we all were called to be the arm, then it won't make up the entire body. The whole arm cannot be just the body. But we all have to function the way that we're supposed to and what God has called us to be. So that means for some of us, it's the arm. For some of us, it's the leg. Some of us, it makes up the foot. For the rest, you know, it makes up the, you know, the ears, or, you know, just different things like that, the other parts of the body that have to function, you know. And so a lot of people don't look at it like that. It's like, you know, the moment that we feel like we're called to ministry, we're only called to take this title, you know, and it's not like that. And I feel like, you know, God is calling us in this season to a place where we understand what we're called to so that we can be able to function like he has called us to be, so that we can reach more souls and see more people saved, set free, and delivered.
I want to tap onto that one subject you just hit for a little bit about titles and bishops and all that kind of stuff. I remember growing up and always hearing him say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Just call me servant. And it's like
right.
all of a sudden we've gone from, I just want to be his servant, I just want to hear well done, to I want to be bishop, I want to be apostle, I want to be prophet. And I'm not saying anything's wrong with a title, because Apostle Paul, they had titles. I'm just saying mm-hmm. when it becomes so much of a big thing that it's more important than serving God, it's more important
right.
to have that title. That's something that we have to really, really be careful for, because people are watching us and they're seeing us name hungry, and you
mm-hmm.
know,
right.
and that affects.
Yeah.
That affects not only the body of Christ, but potential members to the body.
Right. It does, because and that's something like so amazing. Like when I first came in ministry, the first thing that I was being taught by just like some of my peers who had, you know, already been in ministry before me, they said, you know, just serve. Just learn how to serve, man. You go in with like a servant's heart and never forget that. Then they were telling me like God will take you like to places that you've never like, you know, been before, because you like you're serving. And I feel like a lot of people now in our generation, they're serving, but they're serving only just for a purpose. They're serving to gain a title. They're serving to be called something. They're serving to be raised up. And once they're raised up to that thing that they feel like they're supposed to do, then they stop serving, because now they feel like they got it, and they're gonna go out and do what they're, you know, supposed to do, and they no longer serve. And one thing that I admire about my dad, who's who's a pastor in Dallas, Texas, he still serves. My dad mm-hmm. could have easily stopped being an usher when he became a pastor. But him belonging to the Church of God in Christ, he still serves as an usher. He's over the usher board in Texas, I believe, in a certain jurisdiction. And that, you know, kind of like, that kind of touched me because it's like, and this man, he still serves. He has a servant heart. He'll still, like, you know, he'll clean up. He'll be the armor bearer for, you know, if it's somebody from his church that's speaking, or for his, you know, his wife, or for one of my uncles who may have to speak or something like that. He never forgets to go back to that servanthood that he was taught. And a lot of us need to go back to that. We need to just to learn how to serve and be called like a servant, like, you know, not just for a season, but just be called servant, like the entire time that we're doing like God's will. Like, just what if we didn't have the apostle title? What if we didn't have the prophet or pastor title or the bishop title, you know, and it was only servant, you know? I wonder how people would be. How will we react then? Because I feel
wow.
like titles mm-hmm. sometimes can mess us up in the head, and we lose focus on what it's really about. And I just, you know, I just wonder that sometimes. What if God really just takes away all titles and it's nothing, no pastor, no apostle, nothing like that. It's everybody just serving. I wonder how we will be then.
That is so good, Jeremy. As I was saying earlier in the show when I opened up, I listened to one of your mentors on Sunday night, Pastor Samuel Goulet, and he just really made me think about something when he said, you know, if you're lacking fire, is it the church's fault that you're lacking fire? Mm-hmm. You know, because we're so quick to say, oh, the pastor don't do nothing to motivate me. You know, well, that may be true. Maybe your pastor, his speaking may be dry, or maybe you don't have the right kind of music that really motivates you. But that shouldn't have anything to do with your fire inside of you, because that fire
right.
comes from God. So if you are daily with the Lord and daily before the Lord, you ought to come mm-hmm. fired up. And if you find out within time that maybe this church is not the church for you and they're not developing you the way you feel, that's a whole other thing. But
right.
the fact of you having a fire, you should have that. You shouldn't rely on the church to bring that fire to you. That's the fire that the Holy Spirit should have given you the moment you received Jesus Christ. And you should constantly be stirring up the flame like Paul commissioned us to do. Stir up that flame that's inside of you.
Right.
So I think that sometimes we get it messed up in the church as a body of Christ. We think it's all on the pastor or all on the teacher to get me fired up, to get me motivated, to get me excited about this Christ
yeah.
I serve. And I don't agree with that. When he said that on Sunday, I'm like, dang, that is so true.
Yeah, it is. It's very true, because I feel like even when you go and you look in the book of Acts, the book of Acts is probably one of the most, like, powerful books in the, like, the Bible, like, to me. It's just in my opinion, as I read it and see how the church really got started. The apostles, like, when they walk past people, people will be, like, healed right then and there. That's how much of the Holy Spirit they had, like, in them. That's how much fire they had down on the inside of them, because I honestly feel like they prayed and they worshiped and they laid out before, you know, God, and they never slacked, you know. They didn't lack, you know, they didn't fall off from their prayer life or anything like that. They kept going. They prayed and they fast and they just, you know, contended for, like, you know, the Holy Spirit to just, like, continue to be with them and just set that fire down on the inside of them so that they can, you know, go and, you know, do the miracles, signs, and the wonders, because they realize, you know, Holy Spirit, without you, I can't do this. God, without you, I can't do this. So put this fire down on the inside of me so that I can go out and do your will and show people that you are real. And I feel like if we don't have that fire, we can't show people that God is, you know, truly real, you know. Because we have to eventually get outside of the four walls of the church, and we have to go out and we have to do what it is that God wants us to do as far as witnessing and evangelism out to people. And the way Sean Smith did it, he says the prophetic that meets evangelism, and he calls it prophetic evangelism. And so if we take that and go out and use that tool and, you know, witness to people, and they catch that, and that's like a spark of fire, like right there, a fire that's down on the inside of the prophetic fire and the evangelism mm-hmm. fire coming together to be able to stir up like a revival in our community and see people truly saved. I feel like that fire is needed for people who need Jesus, who really need to be saved, set free, and delivered.
That is so good. Pasquale says it this way, and I love how he says it. He says, the church has left the building.
Oh, yeah.
I love when he says, let's get up out of the four walls and go to the communities and start preaching to them and sharing to them. And they leave. They literally get up and leave and feed the homeless or have a worship team out in the park or whatever. But they leave the mm-hmm. building. And I think
right.
that we really – I mean, that's why in one of the promos I did for this show today, I had a big church because I put that there because I think that that's what people think about when they say church. They think of the four walls, but that's not the church. That's not the church who God is coming back for. I mean, he's not coming for brick and mortar and all that. He's coming for the people, the body of Christ. And I think that we get that confused. We think the church is the name of the building. And that's not
Hello.
What God is coming back for. He's not coming back for a building. He's coming for his saints. So
right,
when we say we are the church, are we the church? That's the question today. Are we the
right.
church? What is your thought behind that? Are we the church?
Yes, we are the church. We make up the church, even the church building, you know. I feel like even without us physically being in those buildings, there can be no building at all. So we as the people make up the church. We bring the gospel. We preach the word. We do what it is that that will help people, you know, get saved, you know. And it can't be just about staying in the four walls and saying, you know, if somebody needs to be like killed or something like that. We can't say, well, you know, just come to my church on Sunday or come to my church on this day. We're having a special healing service or something like that. You know, you just come on down to, you know, down there. And it's like, no, that's never the way God created it to be. If somebody needs prayer and they need to be healed from something, then he has put his spirit down on the inside of you so that you can be his example of him being alive, of him being real by praying for that person and him, the Holy Spirit, actually doing the work that he needs to do. He uses us. He uses the body. He doesn't stay closed up in a building. He's too big. He's too mighty. He's too strong. He's too powerful to be kept inside of a four-wall building. He has to move around. He has to have room to work. And he found us, his people, you know, to a point to where, you know, we can, like, be able to go out and do these things. He uses us to be able to
Absolutely.
Witness his gospel in such a strong and powerful way. So, yes, we are the church. We are the ones that preach his word. We are the ones that go out and pray for people and get involved in our communities. You know, a lot of people, even with everything that's been going on in the United States now, they're looking for the church. Everybody's biggest question now is, what is the church going to do? What is it that we're going to help out with? You know, are we going to start talking about these things in our churches? Are we going to go out and reach out and help some of these parents with their, you know, children and starting mentor programs and things like that? They're looking for us to do that. And so when we fail in those type of positions, when we fail in those things like that, you know, they look at us differently. And especially if we respond like the world does. The world gets angry. They, you know, they start mobs and they start, you know, throwing stuff and burning buildings
yeah.
and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so if the church responds in that way, it's like, why should I listen to you if you're responding the way that I am? How can I change if you're doing the same thing that I'm doing? So if we as
Absolutely.
The church don't represent God the way that we're supposed to, then we're looked at as the same way. And so it's time for us to start representing God in a totally different way. It's time for us to start doing what it is that God has called us to do, and that's for us to be different, because he said you are not of the world. You may live there, but you're not of the world. You are not like those people. I called you out from them for a reason. And so we have to live up, you know, to their reason and their purpose that he called us out.
That is so good, Jeremy. It's so good, because I remember, I'm looking back way back when I was like a kid, and when I went to church, we used to have a lady at our church called Betty Love, and she started teaching us all kinds of things about Black history and different things, and not just her, other women at our church as well. But the thing of it is, they weren't teaching that at my school growing up in elementary school. They weren't teaching Black history, but I could count on my church to teach me, you know, Black history programs, different things happening. I learned more in my church than I ever learned. And when I ended up going to college and I was able to take my first Black history class, I knew way more than the average student because of my church. So I'm totally agree with you. Social issues, anything to make you a better person emotionally, physically, spiritually, relationally, as my pastor always says, it all ought to be there in the church. It ought to be in the church. And I think we are missing the mark with that. And I will say in another way I think we're missing the mark too, Jeremy, and I love your input on this, is that I think we have become too critical of the body of Christ. I mean, we are so negative about ourselves, about our leaders, about our pastors. To anyone, we'll just start sharing everything that we don't like about our church and everything that we feel. And that's a real bad testimony to anyone who may be listening or may be around you when it comes to your church and the body of Christ.
Right, exactly. And it's the way that we say things. Like, when we, I don't feel like people understand the way that it affects the body when we sit around and we, you know, we talk about our, like, leaders and our churches and things like that. And don't get me wrong, and I'm able to comment on this because I've done it, like, back in, you know, some time when I was, you know, going through a little situation, and I would start doing those things. And it's like, you know, God had to convict me because I realized, you know, what I was saying, it was affecting the body. And it was getting other people, you know, mad and upset, and it was getting other people, you know, angry at these, you know, particular leaders and at this particular church. And I knew that that's not, you know, supposed to happen. And so it affects the body in such a negative way, and God doesn't, you know, he doesn't want that at all. And so we have to learn how to just start praying and just falling on our knees and really just asking God, like, God, what is it that you know need me to do? You know, I'm at this church and I feel like things should be like this, should be like that. I don't feel like I'm being used like this. I don't feel like I'm being used in this area. And I know what you've called me to, God. Can you show me what it is that I need to do? Can you show me what it is that needs to happen? You know, instead of going around talking negatively to other church members and forming like this clique type of thing, and everybody sitting around at dinner and lunch and talking bad about the pastor and the other leaders at the church and the church as a whole, and that's doing nothing like but starting this drama and this gossiping. And the Bible talks about gossiping, you know, it's something that we shouldn't be doing. And I put it on Facebook. And I said it. I said, listen, you know, it really irritates me, you know, when we sit down and we do these things. You know, I feel like if we're going to constantly sit down and we're going to talk about this particular church or talk about the body, the way that we're, you know, doing, then leave. Just leave the church. Just go. Ask God to place you somewhere else instead of just sitting around and constantly every day talking about it, talking about the church, being mad and upset about something. And, you know, then come to the church like on Sunday or something and then act like, you know, everything is fine. You know, you're pretty much like, you know, living like this life. And then it's not healthy. I said to my cousin on Facebook the other day, I said, they say the church is supposed to be a hospital. But in a hospital, when you look at it in the natural, in the hospital, You have doctors, you have nurses, and you have medical assistants, people who have went to college and who have went to technical school to be trained for what it is that they need to do in their job position. And those people help the patients get back on the healthy path. I said, but now when you in that, and when you look at it in the spiritual, you know, it's kind of like the church, the pastors, the prophets, the apostles, the evangelists, people like that. You know, we're like the doctors and the medical system and the nurses, and we're there to help people get them back on track in a healthy way. But how can we do that when everybody in the church seems like they're sick? Sick people can't help sick people. We have to get to a point to where somebody in the church has to be healthy to help other people get back on the track, and live in a healthy spiritual life.
That is so good. That is so good. I like when you said, Jeremy, and I think this is what a lot of people don't do, and I've said this, I've had this conversation with my pastors before too. People come into the church and they'll say, oh, come to our women's ministry. Come to our men's ministry. Come help with the usher board. The first thing you need to do when you get into a church, ask God where you fit in.
Right.
Don't just jump in to where everybody is saying, because people are going to come in and say, I need help with the media ministry. I need help with this. I need help in these areas. But what is God calling you to do? Because if you don't find out what God wants you to do, a lot of the times you're not even in your calling. You're not even where God wants you to be. And then you get over there, and because you're not in your calling, you're upset because Sister Betty is doing this and that, and you feel like you should be doing that. But it's not even your calling, because you haven't even asked God. You just got in it because it looked good. So I think that the key is really what you said about asking God, Lord, where do you want me to be here? What's my calling?
It's so important, and God even dealt with me about that. You know, one time when I first came to ministry, I thought it was all about just having the title of minister, and I didn't understand what the fivefold ministry is. I didn't know anything about, like, operating in an office or understanding, like, what my calling is. The only thing I knew is that I was called, like, to, you know, preach or something like that, you know, and I was like, okay, well, the church has pretty much made it out, like, all right, you're going to be a minister, and then after you're a minister, you move up to elder, and after elder is pastor, and after pastor is, like, bishop or something like that, and so that's what I was taught, that's what I learned by watching, and then the Holy Spirit started dealing with me, and I thank God early on being in ministry, and I'm still, you know, in my early years and still learning, but back in 2011 when he started dealing with me about that, he started to show me exactly what it is that I was supposed to do. He started showing me like it was like a vision of the his communities and in the streets and the way that they are, you know, and he started to remind me. He said, did you honestly think that you were a part of that gang life just for no reason? Did you honestly think that you seen what you did when you was trying to live that type of lifestyle just for no reason? He was pretty much telling me that you was placed in those positions because of where I was taking you in ministry. And if you're only going to be focused on staying behind the four walls of the church, then I can take this and give it to somebody else. And it was so convicting, and it was such in a loving way. And from that point on, I knew what it is that I was called to do. And a lot of people said, why are you so passionate? Why are you this and that? Because I know that this is what God has placed me here to do, and I can't stop. I can't stop talking about it. It's something that he's placed in me. And so I want to challenge, like, just everybody who, you know, is in that position where they feel like, you know, they're not in that right place to where God has called them to be, just honestly just start praying and letting him really speak to you. You know, don't just pray and then get up and walk off. But definitely that's the problem that we have. We, you know, pray and we say amen and we get up and go on about our day instead of just letting the Holy Spirit talk to us and just sitting there and meditate. And he'll give you the answer. He's always speaking, and he'll show you what it is that you're called to do so you can operate in it, and you won't have to sit back and wonder no more what it is that I'm placed here to do.
That is so awesome. I recall one of my radio guests, he was a pastor, and he was talking about how one time when he was pastoring, he had this visitor that came to his church, and the whole time he just was crying and sobbing in the middle of the service. And he didn't understand because, you know, he hadn't really begun to preach anything or anything. But God had given him a call to be at this church, and then he showed him all the things that he needed to do. And he showed him how to build the church to get to a different place. They got a larger building. And God showed him how to build this church, you know, piece by piece, every aspect of it. So when this man came in and started looking and was there, he started crying. And the guy went to him afterwards and asked him, you know, are you okay? And he said he was sobbing and sobbing because that church was the exact church that God had told him to build.
Wow.
When he was in that church, he saw it, and he said that's the vision that God had given him, but he never did it, and God gave it to somebody else.
Wow. See?
And he said he just was sobbing because that could have been for him, but he didn't listen to God, and God gave it to someone else. And so he will. He'll give it to someone else if you don't answer the call that's on your life and you don't do what God is calling you to do. And that's exactly what you're talking about as far as, you know, you're just doing what everybody else is telling you to do or walking in that but not doing what God has called you to do. You know, when you were talking earlier, I was thinking about how, you know, about this time last year, I broke my leg. When I first broke my leg, I was like, oh, I don't want to call the ambulance. You know, let's just see if we can get in the car and go. But when I tried to get up, Jeremy, it was so painful, I couldn't. I was like screaming, we got to call 911. And I live in a loft, as you know, so I would have to go downstairs to even get in the car, and there's no way I could have done that. So I'm like, okay, we'll call the ambulance. So I got there, and I had to have surgery. I had to have plates and screws and everything put in my leg. But I did what I needed to do to take care of my leg. And I think I say that because God, I think when we were talking about this show, God just kind of brought this out to me, is that when something's wrong with your body, generally you're going to do what you need to do to take care of that body. You're going to go to the doctor. You're going to get it corrected. You're going to do something. And if you don't, something's generally wrong with you. You're not really thinking straight. I mean, like even people who self-cut or mutilate themselves, they're not healthy. That's why they cut themselves. We have people today that self-mutilate the body of Christ. They're literally cutting themselves because you're cutting the body. When you talk about the body, you tear the body down, and you tear down the pastors and you tear down other members, how someone sings, whatever. We're cutting and mutilating, self-mutilating the body.
Right.
And I never really thought of it like that until God just really started speaking to me that we have to stop it. We are really basically not taking care of our body, or we're self-mutilating our body.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, and we are. You know, we're, like I said, you know, you're just going back to, you know, how we make, you know, the negative comments and, you know, things about, you know, the way that, you know, things may be. And, you know, sometimes those things may, you know, be true, but it's the way that we respond. And the way that we respond can hurt the body, you know. It's kind of like, I'm trying to think of an example, a good one, where it's kind of like if, you know, something, you know, somebody, you know, wants to, you know, come and maybe like a fight a person or something like that, you know, and it's like the way that that person responds is probably how the outcome of that fight may be. You know, you don't know if this person, you know, may have a gun or, you know, a knife or, you know, or something like that. And if you respond in the wrong way, you know, you can seriously get hurt. And we don't want hurt. You know, we want people to, you know, be joyful. We want people to be happy. We want people to get along. We want people to, you know, that, and I feel like that's what, and honestly, that's what, you know, God wants, you know. And so when we sit back and we, you know, do things to hurt our own selves, it's like a hurting thing, like emotionally, you know, because it's like, man, we got to do better. Because with all everything that's going on in America right now, we can't afford to constantly keep, you know, going against each other and talking about each other and not wanting to work together or even separating our churches from black, white, Hispanic, and all that. No, we got to all come together, and we got to work together, because if we work together and not push our own agenda and only do what God wants us to do, that's when we'll be able to be like this force, this mighty force, and we're able to be able to strike in one blow, and no demon or devil in hell will be able to stand up against us. Just like Jesus said, he said, upon my rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And so if we come together and do what it is that we're supposed to do, then the enemy won't be able to stand up against us, because his army can't be stronger than ours if we work together and do what it is that God wants us to do.
I love that. I absolutely love that. That takes me to my next point that I want to discuss, because a lot of times we think that the body of Christ, like I said, is in those four walls. And I know you don't believe that, because you have gone out and fed the homeless. You go out and share Christ. You've gone to the mission, and you've just done different things to go beyond it. My mom is a great advocate for this. She's gone to Japan. She goes and does, I don't even know what it's called, but they when they come into town and they build the houses for the communities that can't afford it, she feeds those people. She goes beyond what's in the four walls. And I think that that's the problem, is that I've heard a lot of people say things like, we don't need to be going out there to help nobody else. We need to help ourselves. That is not what Jesus did. You didn't see Jesus just totally staying in the church, preaching at the church. He was out on the banks of Jordan preaching and feeding the homeless,
right.
Feeding the people who were had been with him for so long, didn't have anything to eat. He did that. He went out there. He
that's
healed.
So, true.
So I think we
that's
really
so
have that portion wrong. I'd like to get your opinion on that.
Yeah, that's so true, and it's so amazing. Like even when you once Jesus had left, and you even go and you're looking at the start of the church, the apostles, what they did is that they started off feeding the homeless, because a lot of people, when you understand like the office of, the apostle and what they do, they start things, they plant it, and then they go on to do the next thing. They, they plant, they find somebody to take over it, and then they go and they plant the next thing that God wants them to do. And so that's what the apostles did. As people were being saved and delivered and set free, I can't think of what chapter it is in Acts, but it is in Acts, where the apostles, they started to feed, the homeless, and people came along, and the Bible says they were selling everything that they had. They were selling all of their gold, and they were, giving things away just so they can give it away to other people, and take that money to give to people and feed people. And the apostles said, you guys have to continue, do this. We have to go, and we have to do, other things that God, wants us to do. But you guys keep this going. This is what we're supposed to do. This is what it's about. And a lot of people have missed that. A lot of people honestly feel like, that it's gotten to the point now where it's the itching ear. And it's exactly what the Apostle Paul said, people are, only want to hear the itchy ear messages. They only want to hear the, you're going to, get a blessing in 7 or 5 days and different things like that, instead of, hearing the true message of God and going out, reaching out to our community and preaching Jesus the way that we're supposed to, not preaching, going to people and say, if you get saved right now, then you're going to get like $1 million in, in your mailbox or something like that, and that probably will be great, but that's not what it's about. I don't need the, the cars, the money and the fame and all this stuff like that. If my soul is not clean, if my soul is not set free, if my, soul is still in bondage, I don't need all those things. Lord, just clean me up so that I can go out and be a true living testament of what it is that you can do, so I can see other people saved and delivered and see other people fed. If I have to sell my stuff to go out and do it, Lord, I'll do it just to see other people blessed.
And when you do that, God's not going to leave you lacking. There's no way he's going to leave you lacking. He's going to take care of you too, because you trusted him enough. Like he told the rich young ruler, sell everything you own. And the ruler went away sad. But I think that he missed out, because if he would have done that, he would have been blessed more than what he ever had before. He just was looking at the physical. And I think that's what we do. We look totally at the physical, myself included. Sometimes I get so caught up, Jeremy, with what I can see in front of me, the circumstances, the problems. And that's one thing that Mark Victor Hansen said on Sunday. He goes, if you have a problem, that's a good thing. God is going to come in and take care of it. He's going to show you exactly, you know, how it's going to work for your good. A problem is a good thing. A problem takes you to another level. A problem blesses you. A problem is a blessing. And when he said that, I'm like, wow, I never think of it like that. Do you ever think of it like that?
I never, like, really thought about it like that, actually. And it, but it makes sense, though. You know, I've never – I'm in shock right now, like, cause I'm sitting over here just catching it because that's so good. Like, I've never thought about it like that.
Yeah, I just thought that was so awesome. And I'm like, because, you know, for me, it's been a tough season. It's been a tough season for a little while now. I think it was it's something in the Old Testament that said for a long time the Israelites were waiting. And that's, you know, we've been going through some things for a long time. And I know I've digressed a little bit, but anyway, but it's like that's the problem sometimes. Even with the body of Christ, we get so caught up in the problems or the struggles that we don't realize that this is, you know, if you go into the Bible and you look, everybody had a problem and God changed it and showed his glory. Abraham had a problem when he got up one morning and the Lord said, sacrifice your son.
Right.
Big problem. Got there, and the moment he got ready to obey God, there was a ram in the bush. So, I mean, anybody you look at, Daniel had a problem in the lion's den. Shadrach, Meshach had a problem. Whenever we had a problem, God glorified himself. So when he said that, I'm like, oh, Lord, I missed. That's a revelation I had been missing. I have been missing.
Yeah, it's so amazing because even when you go back and you look at even at Job even had a problem. Job
had a lot of
problems. You know, he had his family taken away from him, his job pretty much, his money, you know, he owned pretty much all this business. And it was all just taken away from him. His health was taken away from him, his problem. But at the end, God gave him double, you know, pretty much double for his trouble. You know, he gave him everything back. And it was just like, you know, it's so amazing because God will show up no matter what, you know, no matter what you're going through, no matter what problem you're facing, no matter what it is that, you know, you may be experiencing. God always, he always, you know, has a plan. And even though it seems like even now, like with our generation, like I just feel that now, like our generation is going through like so much and we're facing, you know, a lot of things. And even with a lot of things that's going on, like in our communities to our, you know, black brothers and sisters, you know, I just got to like keep it real on that. A lot of parents are honestly like scared that we're going back to, you know, some times that we thought we left. And seems like our generation is like it looked like we're reliving some things, but I honestly feel like God is saying, you know, I'm coming, I'm going to save my generation. I'm going to bring them to a place where they're going to, you know, understand what my glory truly feels like, you know, it, and then the scripture comes up, you know, everybody knows it. If my people who are called by my name, you know, will, you know, pray, you know, and humble themselves, you know, and seek my face, you know, then I will come in, you know, I will heal the land. And that's what we got to do for our generation right now. We must lay on our face and intercede for them. And so this problem that's happening and that's constantly going on every day will, you know, God will come in and he'll take care of that problem. You know, he'll cease it, you know, what's going on. And justice will, you know, be served in the right way, the way that God has ordained justice to be served.
I think that is so true. We concentrate so much on the problem instead of believing in the God that we serve. And, I mean, that's so, like you said, so prevalent in the church and our people, no matter what the problem is. I mean, even every Sunday, people are coming into the church because they're crying because of their finances or they're crying because their body needs healing or they're crying. And I understand that because that's real, because I've been there. I've been on the altar and at the altar, and they say, you know, anybody need a miracle? That's me. Both hands up, okay?
Right.
I really get that. But recently in this season right now where I am in, Jeremy, God has continued to try to remind me, stop just being overwhelmed with your problems.
Right.
And trust me, you know, because he says it over and over again, be anxious for nothing. Cast all your cares on me. My yoke
yeah.
is easy. My burden is light. All these things he's trying to tell us. Stop carrying
right.
it. I got it. And I think when we let it go, that's when the doors open.
Right.
That's definitely when they open. So I think that in the body of Christ, so many people have so many problems and burdens that they're bringing to the church. And
mm-hmm.
and we'll get up there and we'll have sermons and we'll say things about, you know, let's look at this or that subject per se. But I just think that we need to have a real good washing of the heart and a
right.
real good cleansing and say, you know, wait a minute, just ask the Lord to wash you of all the bad thoughts, all the bad feelings, because when you do that, you're really giving it to him and you free him up to
right.
do it, because sometimes he can't even get through to us because our problems are so loud in our mind and we can't even hear him.
Yeah, yeah, and that's so true. Yeah, we need like a true, like, you know, deep cleansing, you know, in the church. You know, I feel like that's the only way we can get healthy, like, spiritually. And not only that, we have to learn how to confess some things, you know, I believe the Bible talks about, you know, confessing, you know, our sins and stuff like that, you know, to one another, you know, our problems,
mm-hmm.
our issues, you know, to
yep.
one another. And even with, you know, me and my fiance, you know, your daughter, we've, you know,
mm-hmm.
sat down and we've talked about things like that. We've confessed some things, you know, to one another, and we'll pray for each other. And that's what we need to do. I feel like a lot of times in church, in a lot of churches, we take what we do, we try to cover it up, and we hold it in, and not realizing
mm-hmm.
that we're not getting healthier. We're just getting, like, sick. Each day we're getting sick, we're getting worse. You know, our health is failing
yeah.
spiritually, because we're just holding it in. But if we just let it out, and if we confess, and if we pray for one another, and we just, you know, let God, let the Holy Spirit clean us the way that we're supposed, the way that he's supposed to, then we'll start to begin to live that healthy spiritual life, the way that he created us to be. And we'll be on that path of being joyful again, and not being depressed and not being angry, but just having just a wonderful spirit about ourselves, and people be able to look at us and say, what is this that's on you that's shining? You like, well, it's the Holy Spirit that's shining on me and through me. It's the love of Jesus Christ, because I confess some things and I let go of some things and some stuff that I was holding on to. And I realized that it was just making me sick every day. But now that I've let it go, I feel myself now getting to a more healthy place. And I owe it all to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen. That is so good. That's so good. And so I just really want to talk a little bit more of what it really, really looks like to be a part of the body, to be to really identify that. Because I was thinking, you know, my mom and dad are in Texas. And I'm here in Nevada, but I'm still their daughter. No matter where I am, I'm their daughter. And
right.
there's nothing that I can do to not make me be their daughter. And I think that that's the thing that we need to realize, too. You know, whether or not, you know, I'm like in the church building doing this or that, I can go out and help. You know, I know some people that are going to do some ministry work this summer and go out to do missions and do all that. But I'm still going to be a part of ICLV. Whatever I do, I'm still going to be a part of that. I just think it's important for us to find, even though I'm Conway and Johnny James' daughter, I still had to find my own identity,
right.
find out who I was. And I think that that is so important to really realize that you're the church, and you got to find out, like, you think you started it from the very, very beginning. Ask God, and he will answer you. I will just say that. He will answer you. Lord, what have you called me to do
exactly.
in the body of Christ? What is my place? The church that you're coming back for without a spot or a wrinkle, what does that look like for me? Because I think it looks different for everybody, because, Jeremy, your calling is a little different from mine. It's a lot similar,
right.
but it's different in a lot of ways.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, it is. It is, and that's the way that the body was meant. We all are called to different things, but it all is for the glory of God. it's all for the glory of God. And the Bible talks about that, and what we were saying, you know, even earlier about how, you know, we're all members, you know, of the body, you know, but we all operate and function differently. And that's the way that, you know, that we was created. You know, the prophet was created to do one thing. The evangelist was created to do one thing. And the apostle, the teacher, you know, the different things like that, even that makes up, you know, that makes up the fivefold when it comes to that.
Yeah.
But even if you're not, you know, necessarily called to one of those, like, titles or chosen, if I would say, you know, for one of those titles, I honestly feel like God has something special that he's created you to do. You know, God mm-hmm. may have you to start up a mentorship for young ladies, or God may have you to start up a mentorship for young men or something like that, but all for his glory. Like, I feel like, you know, even with politicians, I don't feel like Christians are excused from that. I feel like we can be in politics and make a huge impact on our community and a huge impact on the other government officials, you know, in the United States. You know, I feel like mm-hmm. we're called to be in those positions. And so that will make up the body. That will make up the church. We're called to have our hands in many different things, you know, to bring all glory to God, to have a school system that is being ran by, you know, Christian people and people who believe truly in Jesus Christ, you know, and, you know, that will fight and bring prayer back into school, you know. And every time I think about even just that, it's like, man, one atheist went out to the government, one atheist only, and changed mm-hmm. the prayer out of schools just like that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, what if the body of Christ, what if we all can work together and not fight and just work together as the body, the way that we're supposed to go out and make an impact on our government and our community to say, let's bring prayer back into school. Let's start hiring more Christian leaders in our school systems. Let's start voting more Christian leaders in politics, and even pray for them as they're in there, because it can be so easy to be deceived by other politicians who may not even be Christian. You know, and so
Amen.
That all of that together makes up the body. That all together makes up the church and who we are and who we are supposed to be in the world. We make impacts like that. We can make impacts like that by being and having our hands in these different things that I named. You know, it's important. I feel like it's so important.
Yeah, I totally agree. I absolutely agree. So I think, first of all, knowing your identity, knowing your calling, you know, to be a part of the church. And then I think the second boom, I'll just say, like, two big points is to be loyal to it. Because, like, I'm here to tell you right now, no one can't call me, tell me anything about my mom and my dad. You can't talk about my mom and dad to me. I mean, as a matter of fact, you want to see me get a little bit more angry than maybe I ought to be, talk about my mom and my dad, you know.
Right.
So the same thing should be, we should have that same kind of righteous indignation when people are trying to cut down the body of Christ, and dare not we be a part of it. Like the scripture I said in the beginning about our tongue, controlling your tongue guarantees long life.
Right.
When you can't, you know, it brings everything into ruin when you can't do that. So I think that's another good part about what the body looks like, identity and controlling your tongue.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Especially, identity, you know. And I even can go back to a point to where, you know, even now sometimes a lot of people, you know, will say, you know, oh, man, you know, you're going to be a pastor just like your dad. You're going to be just like your dad. You're going to be. And I feel like a lot of people, you know, it wasn't me, you know. They were trying to make me look and be exactly like my dad. When I knew, you know, I feel like, I don't feel like I'm going to, you know, be like him. But then at a certain point in ministry, I started to go that way. Like, yeah, you know, that's what I'm going to do. That's what I'm going to be. And it took people around me to kind of pour into me and teach me, like, hey, you know, that's not necessarily what, you know, a pastor does. You know, everybody saying, you know, you're going to be a part of, you know, this church. You're going to pastor like this church, you know. And it's like, no, this Jeremy pastoring doesn't necessarily mean you're going to pastor a church. But I didn't know that. Nobody ever taught me anything like that. And it opened my eyes, like, oh, okay, I see a different form of what pastoring, like, may look like. But, you know, it's so important to know what your identity is, because people can easily tell you that you're going to be like this person and that person. It's like, no, I feel like God has called me to do my own thing, and he's called me to stay, like, in my own lane, and that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to be, like just like what God has called me to be and who he's created me to be. I don't feel like he created me to be like somebody else. We may be similar in some type of way, but we're going to be different at the end.
Yeah. Absolutely. Wow, gosh, well, our time went by really fast, and I didn't even really open the lines, and we only have a few minutes. So is there anything else that you really kind of want to cover before it's time for us to go?
Just you know, just to let people know that, you know, continue just to pray for the body of Christ on a day-to-day basis. Continue just to contend for the faith, because there's so much going on out here in the world. Encourage your leaders in the churches, to come together, to work with other people in the community, other churches in the community, to leave an impact, like, on the city that you're in. And just to, you know, just praise God and glorify God in everything that you do. Pray, just pray. Like the Bible says, Jesus says, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Pray to the Lord that he'll send more workers out into the harvest field. And that's what we need to be praying right now. We need more workers in the harvest field, because it's plentiful and people need us, and we have to come together and do what it is God has called us to do, so that we can honestly say, like Pastor Pasquale says, the church has left the building.
Amen. I agree with that. So why don't you do just that for us? Why don't you lead us in prayer for the body of Christ right now?
Awesome, I will. Father God, I just thank you just for everything that you're doing in our lives, Lord. I thank you just for how you've been there for us, Father God, time and time again, Lord, day after day, just shielding and protecting us and being with us every step of the way, Father. I just pray right now, Lord God, as we're coming to the end of this radio show, Lord, that you touch your people. Give them a mind, Father God, to understand that we are the church, Father God, to have them to understand, Lord, that we make up the body of Christ, Father, that we, Lord God, have to understand our identities, that we have to understand what it is, God, that you're calling us to do, Lord, and that we can function in that and leave an impact on our communities, Lord God. I just pray right now, Father God, that in this upcoming season that we're entering in, Lord God, even as we're coming up on election season, Father God, for president, Father God, and we're coming up on it for Congress and things like that, Father God, that we elect, Father God, true Christian leaders, Father, that won't be afraid, Lord God, to speak the truth, Father God, and won't be able, Lord God, to stand up, Lord God, for your righteousness, Father. And I pray right now, Father God, for our youth, Father. I pray, Lord, that you should protect them with everything that's going on in the world, and that, Father God, you raise up new, fresh leaders, Father God, that wouldn't mind going out speaking your truth, Father, that wouldn't mind, Father God, going out, Father, with a bold spirit, Father, out into the world, Lord God, with evangelism and feeding the homeless, Father God, and spreading your word like never before. Just be with us every step of the way. Show us what it is that we're called to do, Father, so that you can get the glory, Father God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
In Jesus' name, I agree. Amen. Thank you so much, Jeremy, for being our guest today. I appreciate you. You're great. You're awesome. And I want to say to our listeners, anytime, Jeremy. I want to say to our listeners, thank you so much for listening, and please come back again next week. And as you're out there doing all that God would have you to do, we always want to tell you to go out there, touch a heart, and change a life. Good night, everyone.